Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin Herr alongside, getting you through the afternoon.
I am very excited. I found the bobsled. It still exists. The one that I rode as a kid at Great Adventure is a great escape in Lake George, New York. It's now called Alpine Bobsled. I've now planned my summer trip.
Take a month.
Take your kid. A couple of days.
No, Roger and I talked about it. You and the kid can go for a month.
Great. I'm glad you guys checked it. You guys got it all squared away for me. Must be 42 inches to ride.
I have to freely admit that I now know more than I ever wanted to.
That's what's great about the internet, because I just did a search on it. I couldn't remember the name of that. Found the name of it. There was a page that actually had the history of the ride, then followed it up with another click here and there, and found that it got moved and it still existed.
And it's at Lake George.
Yeah.
Which means it's closer.
Yes.
God.
It's a great day.
I am so excited today. I'm so excited.
This is a great day.
It really is. The show now continues. You know, you look at Florida Gulf Coast, which I think was what formed in 1991, and they're part of the satellite system in Florida. Now, you can get a degree from Florida Gulf Coast, and guess what? I mean, you can get a great degree from there. Going to banking, or for the First National Bank of Orlando, or Fifth Third Bank, or whatever it happens to be, right? You can get a great degree and do great things from Florida Gulf Coast. Now, like, you know, you go to Harvard, for example, you know, you can get a job in the Supreme Court. You know, a little different, but still effective degrees.
Yeah, but speaking, you don't have Harvard, dorms. You don't have dorms on the beach, though.
That's true. Right now, dorms on the Charles River are not very warm.
Nope.
But let's make a transition, Kev, to go to the Harvard of the South, LSU.
I referred
last week to New Mexico when they were going to play Harvard as the Harvard of the Southwest. Somebody who's been on that campus and has been on Harvard's campus, I can tell you, maybe not. Well, here we are. 1 year later, you're in the same damn spot you're in last year.
And I'm talking to the same damn person.
That's exactly right. So here we are, second round.
Here we are.
Maravich Center.
LSU.
Tigers outside.
Yeah, he was sleeping, and then when we were on the bus, he was walking around a little bit more. So it was good to see Mike the Tiger still alive and kicking. I think this is Mike the third or Mike the fourth. But different team this year, LSU is. Their best player, of course, is Teresa Plaisance, and she – side step outside 6'5". She gives them the good ability to score from the inside and out. And a lot of it will be slowing her down. And last year, LSU was a very deep team. They had a lot of players that could come off the bench. This year, not so much. And, of course, the big question coming into tonight's game is the status of John Kenny. She ran into one of her teammates last on Sunday night towards the end of the game, and we're unsure if she's going to go or not. They're saying that she's still being reevaluated. But if she doesn't go, they're down to 7 players, and realistically 6, because one of their centers, Teresa Youngblood, did not play the other night. And I can get out of her. She's not exactly the most physically fit freshmen that you'll see, but they might be down to six players, and it'll be tough for LSU to match up with the way Penn State plays if they only have six players going for tonight's game.
Well, the Lady Lions came out first game, and they looked the part. They played really well. They really struggled with the Cal Poly Center early, but there's only so many minutes you can.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate way to put it.
So the depth that they have, the athleticism they have, it's just a question of them hitting shots. I mean, they hit shots, they win.
Yeah, they will need to also be unselfish with the basketball. The one thing that LSU will throw at them is a matchup zone. So if they can pass the ball, try to get good looks inside and out, and then make those good looks, they should be in good shape. Lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten semifinals. They shot 17% with the exception of Maggie Lucas. So add Lucas and it was up to a blistering 22%. But 17% is not going to get it done. It'll come down to whether Dara Taylor and Ariel Edwards are confident in shooting the ball well. And also Alex Bentley. Alex, when she's on, they're hard to beat. If she's not on, she's going to need to give up the ball and hope that other players can take control. I'd say making shots, being unselfish, two keys in this game for the Lady Lions.
And I think they can, even foul trouble, even down low, they can afford a little bit of that tonight because they have depth in the post now.
Yeah, I think we really saw that on Sunday with Taliyah East. Taliyah East came in, gave him 13, and she was very much a motivated player off the bench. She was a presence inside. She had a great awareness of what was going on defensively. She's communicating. And I thought in the Big Ten tournament that she gave a good minute. And then also Tori Wallner has shown at times this year that she can come off the bench. It's not a matter of, okay, Taliyah East has to come in and give them 15 solid minutes. One of those players to come in, maybe two, and add up to 15 minutes, perhaps, if Nikki Green's only going to be able to give them 20, 25 because of foul trouble. So you don't know who it's going to be, but Coquise Washington's done a really good job of managing minutes and then finding the hot hand and riding that. And that's what she can do tonight against Paysan for LSU. You can also have a little bit of size on the inside, and McKinney can be a matchup problem. But for Penn State, I like the way that their depth stacks up against LSU.
What about the crowd tonight? What are they expecting there for a crowd? I mean, it doesn't really matter to the Lady Lions because they've become a good road team. That's irrelevant. Atmospheric-wise, what's it going to be like?
They're thinking around 3,000, 4,000, about what they had the other night. It's a
brutal
Tuesday night. It's late. It's really late. 8:45 tip. We're on the air at 9:15 locally, but 8:45 locally here. It's just a late tip. They said they did not draw well with students all year. A lot of families, and they're saying that they're not sure. They're really not sure, but it was loud in there the other night and had about 3,500 at a dome, and it was loud. Just a matter of getting those people back tonight. I would think with Penn State, the brand name, probably about 4,000 for a chance to go to the Sweet 16.
Mm. And if they win, by the way, you're just going right to Spokane. You're not coming back here.
Yeah, I'm going right to Spokane. Most of the team staff members are going right to Spokane. I think only a couple people coming back. Maybe a couple band members are coming back to State College. But the way the travel ends up, with this game being so late, there's no way you can fly out tonight. So everyone will fly out at 10:30 tomorrow to Spokane. And then the matchup would be with Cal. Cal defeated South Florida last night in overtime. The two seed needed overtime. They really struggled down the stretch. A lot of weaknesses were exposed, especially foul shooting. But Cal is into the Sweet 16. That's who the winner of Penn State and LSU get on Saturday. I guess that's going to be one of the late games on Saturday, though.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. You talk about late games. Not fun. You talked to Tom Hart the other day, who did the game on TV. What's it been his impression of level of play so far?
He really likes the way that Penn State, and of course he has a great familiarity with Penn State because of his work with BTN. Mm-hmm. He really likes the way Penn State has rounded out. He likes the development that Maggie Lucas has in her game. And he really likes the way that Alex Bentley has become a strong leader for the team. He thinks that LSU is a very athletic team. It's just a matter of having the depth. I think he thinks very highly as well of Nikki Caldwell, LSU's head coach. Both Cocoice Washington, Nikki Caldwell. I thought it was Paige Kinball the other night, the team that Penn State opposed, and, of course, Kevin Borsett with Green Bay. I think he had four really good, experienced coaches, and albeit two of them are very young, but the experience that both LSU and Penn State has over the last couple of seasons, that should pay off.
It was really ended up being an easy first-round game for them. What about playing in a possession game, which they were forced to play against Michigan State? Is there some concern that if they get into one of those grinders, do they have what it takes to win a grinder?
I'm not sure, to be honest. LSU wants to play a quick game, but because of their athleticism, it's a lot like you talk about with Wisconsin on the men. They either score right away or they're going to back that thing back out and slow it down, even though people always talk about the athleticism and they're a 72-possession team. If LSU gets some rebounds and Penn State doesn't rebound the ball well, LSU will slow it down to the pace like Michigan State, and that's where Penn State could find itself in a little bit of trouble. And I'm not sure with the athleticism and what we've seen over the course of the state this season, the loss against Miami was a half-court game. UConn made it at times a half-court game. And then the conference play, the half-court games, they have struggled significantly. Yeah. So that's one of the telltale signs. And one way you can control that is rebounding the ball really well, and that's what they'll have to do tonight.
Yeah, Minnesota made it a half-court game, too, and then Michigan State really made it a half-court game.
Oh, well,
and
that's tractor pull.
Yeah, Matt, and when I talk about the ability to win by playing two speeds, that's what I'm talking about. You have your way of playing.
Yep. And I'm not sure if they have that ability. We just haven't seen it. You're hoping a senior-laden team down the stretch, find Nikki Green inside, work inside out, especially against the matchup zone, where you should be able to have a few more open lanes with your guards to dribble into the lane, get some penetration, kick it out, get some open shots from the outside. I think against the matchup zone, they should be able to handle the slow-paced game if LSU can make it a half-court game because of that defense.
You mentioned Alex Bentley in an earlier answer, Brian. What about, obviously, her ability to control the tempo of the game?
I think that she has a tough matchup tonight defensively. LSU has very quick guards, so she's going to be hampered bringing the ball up the floor. I think more for the tempo, it could also come with the bigs getting up and down the floor. Penn State with Nikki Green, her ability to run, Mia Nixon, her ability to run. That's one area that Penn State, although Plaisance is a good athlete, Penn State is much stronger in the interior. So I think Bentley needs to get the ball out of her hands quickly and be unselfish with the ball. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Bentley to be unselfish with the ball here in this game because she has a tendency where she's going to bring it up the floor and pull up, but it has to be a very good look. So that would be one way that she's going to affect the pace and tempo.
In Baton Rouge right now, what's more intriguing, this game tonight or Cam Cameron and what he's doing with the offense for Les Miles?
Cam Cameron, what he's doing with the offense for Les Miles. They really think that Cam Cameron is going to at least bring some game management experience here, or Les will not be throwing his hat around or his visor around at the end of the game, wondering what he did with that last timeout. Tomorrow is pro day here. Tyron Matthew will be working out. The Honey Badger back, fourth round pick is what they're saying right now.
The Honey Badger returns.
The Honey Badger returns. He's hoping, after spending some time at the Riverboat Casino, he's hoping that he strikes it big.
I'll tell you, there aren't a lot of areas of the Riverboat Casino where you can do a lot of sprints.
No, it's tiny, but it pays out well.
And by the way, for those who may be wondering, Rob Bolden is not participating this spring at LSU. All right.
Yeah, he's not.
He is not. I mean, just so people know, because they thought, well, why don't you ask the button? No need to ask a question. He's not participating. All right, so keys to tonight's game.
Keys to tonight's game, rebounding, control the tempo, get it at your speed, be unselfish with the basketball. Also, you need to stay, at least at some point, out of this game. Nikki Green needs to stay out of foul trouble because of her ability to step out and guard Teresa Plaisance when she steps out for shots from beyond the arc. Hopefully Adrian Webb doesn't shoot for LSU like she did the other night. And the one thing for them, again, the story to watch is if Sean Kenny is able to play or not, because when she has been in the starting lineup, it's allowed them to bring their freshman Daniel Ballard off the bench. Very lightning quick guard. Really, I thought she was probably their second best player the other night. She just brought incredible energy to the team the other night. She can score. But if Kenny can't go, they're down to seven. If they don't play Youngblood, who is an oversized freshman, they're down to six. So depth will be a story to watch.
All right. My good friend Brian Tripp, analyst for the Lady Line Basketball Radio Network from Baton Rouge. Thank you so much, Brian. Kevin and I will come back, knocking around the park in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive, XLT only $16,791. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door sedan, GLS just $17,591. 2012 Chevrolet Colorado, extended cab LT, $17,627. 2011 Subaru Legacy, four-door sedan, $21,498. 2007 Chevy Tahoe, four-door, four-wheel drive, $21,995. And a 2008 Ford F-150 Super Crew, 145 Lariat. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The fastest of the fastest of Jamaican sprinters go to Olympics, fight for Jamaica.
Yes, there's nothing like watching John Candy teach you how to ride a bobsled.
That was the best part of that entire movie, was John Candy being a bobsled coach. That's like me being a bobsled coach.
Wow. But it was, the movie was Cool Runnings, if I recall.
That is correct.
About the Jamaican bobsled team.
Do you remember who did play-by-play in the movie for the bobsled runs in the Olympics?
Well, it was supposed to be, what, the Calgary Olympics, if I recall.
Yes.
And who did the play-by-play? Well, normally Bob Beatty did it when they were...
Bob Beatty did color. I believe he did color in the movie.
I will say Al Troutwig.
And you would be correct. Al Troutwig's a good guess on anything Olympics and winter.
Al Troutwig's a good announcer. First time I ever saw him do anything was between periods USA Network when they had the NHL contract. And I thought, yeah, this guy's really good. He's done a great job over the years with the gymnastics. Good storyteller. Very good. Ratings, by the way, for the NCAA men's basketball tournament, up, highest in 15 years. Highest in 15 years. So, that has, that's worked out well. The four network coverage of it.
Hey, Steve, I have Dave on the line who wants to chat with you real quick before we go to the news.
Okay. And just so you know, Kev, I don't have up on my screen that he's on here, so okay. My apologies.
That's all right. He's there now.
Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
How you doing, Steve?
Doing well.
Hey, Kevin, got a quick question for you.
Yes.
That bumper music this morning from On the Mark.
Okay.
The Lady with the Bear.
Was that from
Fraggle Rock?
No. That's Schoolhouse Rock.
Okay, I knew it was one of them.
Yeah, that's Schoolhouse Rock.
Wow.
Okay, the scary bear, the hairy bear.
That's right, so I unpacked my adjectives.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you might as well play it when Reichley's on tomorrow. Fits.
Okay. I may do that.
Yeah.
Reichley gets more pub on this show.
Well... That was cute with that lady with a bear problem.
That was.
And now I'm watching a deer walking through a guy's house.
By the way, Dave. by the way, Dave. On Thursday, Tim Owen from Blue White Illustrated. Yeah. We're going to talk about the and wrestling.
Steve, quick question. What exactly is Minnesota doing?
Well, Minnesota's in an interesting spot. Not a group. So Tubby Smith, and my dealings with Tubby one-on-one have been great over the years. I think there is a lack. What we're seeing now in college sports is on internet, Twitter, fan bases, social media, and media pressure in general, is that we're getting a lack of a realization as to who you are. And Minnesota is not Duke. Minnesota is not Indiana in terms of deep tradition of basketball.
Yeah, it's not North Carolina.
I feel like it's not North Carolina either. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that you look at Minnesota, as I mentioned earlier, great football stadium facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a practice area as well. And the bank is just a few years old. It's state-of-the-art in so many different ways. They not only have a men's hockey arena, Mariucci,
they have a women's hockey arena. Yeah.
Right, but in basketball, they only have the one facility, and that is where they play, and they have to split time with the women. So they're behind the curve, and not only that, their facility was built in 1927. Yes, it's been renovated, but still, it's like, you know, it's like throwing green paint on Fenway Park before they decided to tear certain parts down. So he doesn't have the greatest situation, except for the fact that they are the only Division I school in the state. There are only five states in the nation that have one Division I school in it. Minnesota is one of the five. So you have Norwood Teague, and my guess, and it's only my guess, is that I think he wanted to get in
Shaka Smart before Avenue
to do it.
Yeah.
And he had Shaka Smart with him at VCU.
This is just one fan's opinion. But if we wouldn't have the excellent coach we have, I'd go after Tubby Smith.
Tubby Smith, this is what I think what may happen to Tubby Smith. I can see Tubby Smith at 61 years of age settling into a mid-major job, a high mid-major job, and not maybe a BCS job. At 61, his name recognition being very important, and a person, all of us respect him. My goodness, I've dealt with him one-on-one. I have great respect for him. He's a great guy. And he's done some great things in his career, whether it was Tulsa, Georgia, obviously Kentucky, and then, you know, look, Minnesota went to the NCAAs three of the last 6 years. Since Clem Haskins put them on probation when they made the run to the Final Four in 1998,
yeah.
Or 1999, he did that, okay?
Okay.
You know, they had Dan Munson and Jim Molinari, and they've struggled. They've done nothing. And then he comes in and he gets them 21 seasons, and he gets them to the NCAA tournament three times in 6 years. He has not finished above 500 in the conference, though. Not once, not even this year. He went 8-10, as we well know. But I think that they felt that he was getting outworked on recruiting. That's what I'm hearing. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I still feel this was a preemptive move by Minnesota because I think they feel they have a shot at getting Shaka Smart.
Okay. Well, I'll hang up and listen to the rest of the show. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Dave. But, you know, it's I find it confusing. Ben Howland, maybe less so because he's alienated a lot of people in AAU in Southern California. You notice where his recruits have been coming from lately? Atlanta, Las Vegas. Where's the kid from San Diego? You know, and the Kendall Williams recruitment hurt him. Ended up going to New Mexico. And Kendall Williams is a diehard UCLA guy. And Howland told him in July before signing, we were going to go after you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. And guess the Arizona Cardinals are pursuing Carson Palmer.
Yeah. If
really?
I guess it's if he becomes cut.
I mean, have you seen Palmer play? Jamarcus Russell, by the way, is going to work out tomorrow at the LSU pro day, but then backed off. Because, you know, Vince Young worked out at the
Texas
pro day.
Yep.
Yeah, he worked out at Texas pro, but Jamarcus Russell was going to work out tomorrow at the LSU pro day. No. Done and gone. So, the Lady Lions play tonight, 9:45 Eastern. They play LSU for the right to go to the Sweet 16. Then the NCAA men's tournament kicks into high gear again on Thursday night with Sweet 16 games. There'll be four on Thursday, four on Friday, two Elite Eight games on Saturday, two Elite games on Sunday. Then we get to the Final Four. We'll have Dick Girardi on next week. We'll revisit, I think, with Dave Jones next week. Any of the Big Ten teams get in, we'll have their announcement. So that's what we're doing. That's our coverage of the Final Four. You have to get out, in all seriousness. All seriousness. One of the things about this job and what we're doing here. Take Kevin, for example. Kevin is out at high school football on Friday nights all over the area. He goes to scrimmages. He's at practices, the whole thing. High school basketball. Kevin's out all over the place, high school basketball, covering and so forth. You know, he's doing play-by-play and the like. I'm very fortunate, obviously, with the Penn State football basketball work or, you know, some Big Ten network work sometimes. Or going down to Philadelphia to cover this past weekend and seeing Florida Gulf Coast and the others in person, Duke in person. We're going to go to the U.S. Open Golf Championship. We're going to go to Pocono. You have to get out of the studio, okay? And you have to leave the friendly confines. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll do a lot of studio shows, obviously, based along the way. But to get studio, and there are too many people that in this business are watching it on TV or to the studio, and you're not out there getting your hands dirty. And that's an important part of what we try to do. I mean, that's why we're lining up at the U.S. Open. That's why we're lining up at Pocono. You know, that's why, you know, we did shows from the Big Ten tournament. That's why we did, you know, shows on the road as often as we did and have been doing. There's a reason why. I mean, you have to be around what is going on. You know, we had Brett Comer on yesterday. The Gulf Coast. Well, we get that because we're there. Same thing with Ryan Kelly because we're there. And that, I think that's an important part of this. I mean, it's easy to sit in a studio and do, okay, I can pontificate on whatever. But it gets lazy after a while. I mean, the other day I heard people are in the air arguing for a half an hour whether Carmelo Anthony's number should be retired. Who cares?
Really?
What does that do for you, the fan? What does that do for you, the fan? What does it do for the fan? Hey, the fan, the part of this is informing people about what's going on. So you try to get people that are around what's going on, or you're there yourself. You're there yourself. I mean, I listened to somebody the other day, a half an hour on Carmelo Anthony. I mean, do you think they ought to retire it? Who cares? That's lazy radio. That's lazy.
No. Okay, let's move on. You know, that's an easy one. You're in half an hour.
But I mean, but that's lazy. Hey, you got to get out there and like and see it for yourself and see what's going on and why, and find out why. And it also opens up certain avenues. For example, I mean, when Bill O'Brien made his big decision back in January, we had him on live. Okay? And Kevin knows, he told us point blank who he turned down to be on the show with. You remember that?
Oh, he did? Yeah.
I was
trying to think of where you were going. I'm like, oh, okay, I remember now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I mean, that's why we get out and get places with this show. I mean, you have to take it out there. Kevin's out every Friday night. And how many times during the course of the week in high school season? So when somebody calls up and they want to talk about this, you know, they want to talk about Milton, Danville, you know, like he knows, he's seen them all. He's not on the show guessing. Okay, five of the Sweet 16 teams. Well, let's see, how many of the Sweet 16? Five, six, seven. Seven of the Sweet 16 teams I've seen in person this year. It's a pretty high percentage, don't you think?
And we've talked to, what, five people that have covered the teams this year already?
Already. We talked to five of them.
It's only Tuesday.
You know, four play-by-play guys and a guy that covers it. I mean, let's see, who haven't I seen in the brag? I have not seen Wichita State in person. I know that. And they play LaSalle. And I haven't seen Marquette in person, obviously.
Well, of what you've seen or haven't seen, who is the best team that remains right now? Your opinion.
Well, I haven't seen Louisville in person, but I think they're the best team remaining. Okay? I mean, I've not seen Louisville in person, but, I mean, watching them on TV, they're the best team I've seen that remains, all right? Defensively, they're superior when I watch them. Let's see. I have not seen Louisville, Oregon, Wichita, Arizona, Miami, Marquette, Syracuse, and Florida and Kansas. I've seen Michigan, Florida, Gulf Coast, Indiana, Ohio State, LaSalle, Duke, Michigan State, all in person this year. I mean, you know, you got to get around in this thing. I mean, that's why I went. I mean, it's going to be in Buffalo next year. I might go next year if Penn State's not in. And Penn State might be in. You're saying, what? From two is Penn State might be in. I'm telling you right now, Patrick's got something going here. He's got something. By getting Frazier back, that's huge. John Johnson will be eligible to play. Huge. And the recruits they've got coming in, they're transforming the roster. You got to get this thing in your own image. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, a little bit of work, and some things conspire against you. This was a great year in the Big Ten.
Not according to Barkley.
Yeah, but
I think I even sent you a message over the weekend about it.
Barkley is okay. You know what? But I don't object to Barkley being on.
I don't either.
I think Barkley's entertaining.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He's find him extremely entertaining.
I mean, you know, does he know about the game of basketball? Absolutely.
Sure.
Does he know what teams he's watching? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
But he's entertaining. He says things completely out of the box.
But I give him credit. When he does that, he'll stick with it. They were getting on his case on Sunday. You know, do you still think the Big Ten's overrated? Yeah, I still think the Big Ten's overrated. How many teams are still in the tournament yet? How can you say they're overrated, and when do you stop? And that's that's basically what the other analysts were trying to get him to commit to. When are you going to give them their due when there's three teams left in the Elite Eight or what?
Well, one of the know-it-all hosts on ESPN who lectures the audience all the time on the fact that he's not a fan. I'm not a fan. You're a fan. I'm... You know, and then talks about the Miami Heat, and, you know, incessantly for 3 hours.
Right.
Okay.
But I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm not a fan, though. I'm not a fan. You're a fan. I'm not a fan. Okay, I got you. He's the same guy the other day said, look, it's about how many NBA players these teams have that move on and not about seniors. Oh, how wrong. Kentucky's a perfect example last year of the fact that it is a combination of the two that make a big difference. You need to have older players along with those NBA players to make it happen. Because look at Kentucky this year. They've got four guys in the team that are projected in the top 20 of the NBA draft. Four guys, because I'm including Nerlens Noel. Where are they right now? Home. After getting bounced in the NIT. Okay, what was the difference on last year's team? Sure, they had Kid Gilchrist. Yeah, they had Davis. Yeah, they had Teague. Okay? Three NBA freshmen, right? But they also had senior Darius Miller, right? Terrence Jones. They had three older players on that team last year that the young kids can lean on and could look up to and respect, and Darius Miller was a really good player and an excellent leader. They didn't have that rudder this year. And look where they ended up. It only takes a little bit of work, but if you do a little bit of work, you can actually have an effective show instead of saying stupid things. We'll come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Okay. Great to have you with us. Here in the chateau. Boy, I'd like to see it get warm here. Yeah, I think last year, Bill O'Brien went inside Luba Hall maybe 3 or 4 times. He is very big on, look, we're practicing outdoors. you play the game of the elements, you play outdoors. And I understand that. They haven't been outside once this spring.
I can understand.
Not one time have they been outside this spring.
Yeah,
inside the whole time.
We were talking about that with some of the officials and some of the organizers of the Northumberland County All-Star basketball games from Sunday. And Dave and I were talking with them. And they said, last year we were all in shorts and this gym was sweltering. Now we're just happy to be in the gym because it's warm.
Exactly. And that, you know, it's I mean, it was early spring, but we have not had a break. We need a break somehow. And he's been inside. It's 4 practices in. They'll go again tomorrow. And then it's Easter weekend, so nothing Easter weekend. So they'll go tomorrow. They won't be back in, I don't think, until Monday. So they've had 4 practices so far. And it's all been inside. It's going to be inside tomorrow, too. I can't picture them going outside.
It's like I said, baseball is the one that I feel bad for. High school and college baseball in this area, it's really tough. Now, college isn't as bad because, they're still using aluminum.
Is just as bad.
Yeah, they're still using aluminum.
They use the hybrid bat. Yeah.
But, and by the way, I should mention Andrew Andrejczyk, the Danville Ironman standout, won his first game as a Bucknell Bison. He is now 1-1 on the year as Bucknell beat Binghamton today in baseball.
Right. Very good. It's interesting, you know, you mentioned Binghamton. Now, I was talking about this last week. The Mountain West, you know, they had the number one RPI conference, not the Big Ten. It was the Mountain West. They played 14 games this year against Division II teams, and they don't count. If you go out and you just mentioned Binghamton, if you go out and you schedule Binghamton, and you beat Binghamton, and Binghamton is one of the bottom 10, 15 schools. If you go out and schedule Binghamton, you beat them, they hurt your RPI.
You actually get negative points?
Well, I mean, you don't.
In essence, yeah.
You lose power points because it reduces the strength of your schedule. How about that? If you play a Division II school, it doesn't. Huh?
That does not make sense there.
You should be penalized for it. Boise State played 2 of them.
Yeah, I heard him talking about that, and I didn't quite understand. I'm glad you mentioned that and cleared it up.
Played Walla Walla and, I don't know, Cronin or something. I don't have no idea where they are.
Walla Walla? As in Washington?
Yeah.
Wonderful Wino in Western Walla Walla.
Sounds like a Bugs Bunny thing.
No, George Carlin did that.
Yeah, I know.
But they don't count. I mean, there's like little absurdities. You know, they have to start changing a couple things with college basketball. I talked about, hey, look, you got to get rid of the 5 second closely guarded calls. One less subjective thing for them to call. Okay? Because, like, you have 35 second shot clock, you don't need that. This flagrant one, flagrant two thing has got to go. I mean, it's got to go. I mean, it almost benefited Penn State this year on that call on Brandon Ubel, and then Penn State didn't finish it out. But I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. You're not allowed, it's not an intentional foul anymore. It's a flagrant two. Okay. That has to change. Spending too much time at a monitor seeing if an inadvertent elbow hits somebody. Okay? To me, a flagrant is if you intentionally do it to somebody.
When you take them out.
Yeah, and you do it deliberately.
Right.
Okay? This flagrant one, it's got to go. Now, I don't mind if they do monitor checks. They need to add in monitor checks for goaltending, you know, in terms of backboard goaltending, and to see if a ball's tipped out of bounds and who has the ball. You know, I think that should be a challenge.